especially when we look at economic data, there's this expectation of uniformity.
Right, like a general consensus.
Yeah, exactly. It's like reading a national weather map, you know? You see this massive sweeping cold front coming down from Canada, and you just know that everyone in its path is going to be shivering.
Because it's a broad, predictable brushstroke.
Right, it covers everything. But then, every once in a while, you zoom in on that map, and right in the middle of this freezing blue expanse, there is a tiny, hyper-localized heat wave.
Oh, yeah. Just one specific county sitting there, completely defying the atmosphere around it.
Like it's practically boiling.
Which really forces you to question whether your instruments are broken.
Yeah.
Or if there's just a completely insulated microclimate operating on rules that the rest of the map simply isn't following.
And that localized heat wave, that complete defiance of the overall economic climate, is exactly what we are unpacking today for you on this deep dive.
We've got a lot to get into.
We really do. So let's set the scene for you. We are in late April 2026.
Spring is in full swing.
Yes, the bluebonnets have peaked. Taxes are finally filed, thankfully.
Always a relief.
Definitely. And for anyone holding property or trying to get a foothold in the market, we have entered the crucible. The spring real estate market.
It's the most crucial time of the year for this stuff.
It is. And our mission today is to cut through the massive amount of noise surrounding the North Texas market.
Specifically looking at the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan statistical area.
Right. But we are taking a hyper-focused look at a major outlier. We are looking at Parker County.
And to do that, we are synthesizing a very specific stack of data today.
Yeah, what do we have on the table?
So we're looking at the April 2026 DFW home loan interest rate sheets to gauge the cost of capital.
Essential.
Right. And then we have the comprehensive March and quarter one 2026 market reports from NetTries. That's the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems.
NetTries. Got it.
And to really ground those numbers in reality, we are pulling operational insights from David Peet.
He's a veteran real estate agent, right?
Yeah. Over 10 years of experience with Peet Realty. He spent a decade navigating the exact dirt we're going to be talking about today.
Okay, so let's unpack this, because the tension I want to explore right out of the gate is that the overarching narrative right now is that the real estate market is softening.
That's what everyone is saying.
Right. The headlines feel heavy. The broader regional data looks sluggish. But when you isolate the numbers for Parker County, it's doing something completely unexpected.
It's bucking the trend so violently that it almost looks like a typo on the spreadsheet.
Wait, really? Like a typo?
Yeah, it's that drastic. But let's start with the baseline first.
Good idea. Before we can understand the anomaly, we have to understand the gravity holding the rest of the market down.
Which leads us straight to the rate sheet. Because the cost of borrowing is the lens through which every single real estate transaction has to be viewed right now.
So looking at the April 2026 numbers, where are we at?
We are firmly entrenched in an environment defined by friction. For a 30-year conventional loan, you're sitting anywhere between 5.99% and 6.3%.
Okay, but that's just the base rate. The annual percentage rate, the APR, is creeping up as high as 6.37%.
Exactly.
And I think people often, you know, gloss over the spread between the base rate and the APR. But in a tight market, that spread tells a story about the hidden costs of securing that capital, doesn't it?
It absolutely reveals the friction. I mean, the base rate is just the cost of the money itself.
Right.
APR factors in the points, the origination fees, all the underwriting costs.
So it's the true cost.
Yeah. When you see lenders aggressively marketing a 5.99% rate, but the APR pushes 6.37, it means buyers are paying a premium up front.
Just to buy down the illusion of a lower monthly payment.
Precisely. Lenders are having to engineer these loan products just to make the monthly math vaguely palatable for you.
Wow. And if we look at FHA loans, which traditionally serve buyers with smaller down payments, the base rates are hovering between 5.15% and 5.88%, depending on the term.
And 15-year conventionals offer a slight discount, sitting between 5.37% and 5.75%.
But regardless of the specific product, I mean, we are looking at a landscape where the cost of carrying a mortgage is fundamentally altering human behavior.
It fundamentally alters the math of mobility.
Yeah.
The sources point to two distinct yet intertwining factors causing this softness in the broader market. The first is purely financial, which we just touched on. elevated interest rates are causing critically low inventory.
Great. And the second?
The second is psychological. There's a profound paralysis among buyers due to geopolitical unrest. The reports specifically cite ongoing tensions in the Middle East.
I want to separate those for a second, starting with that psychological paralysis, because buying a house is, at its core, an act of optimism.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge bet on the future.
Right. You are betting that your income will remain stable, that the asset will hold its value, and that the world will keep spinning in a somewhat predictable manner for the next 30 years.
It's like the 30-year commitment.
Yeah. And when the evening news is dominated by global instability, that optimism just evaporates.
Because the human brain is not wired to make 30-year financial commitments when the immediate geopolitical future feels precarious.
We retreat to safety.
Exactly. We hold off on the upgrade. We decide, you know, the current kitchen is perfectly fine for another year.
That geopolitical hesitation acts as a massive wet blanket on demand.
It really does. But even if we stripped away the geopolitical anxiety entirely, the financial mechanics of this market are completely jammed by what economists are calling the lock-in effect.
Okay, I want to spend some time on this because it's not just a buzzword. It feels like it's the fundamental architecture of the 2026 housing market.
It is. The lock-in effect is the direct result of the historical anomaly of the early 2020s.
The era of free money.
Right. Millions of homeowners refinanced or purchased homes when rates were hovering around the 3% mark.
Yeah.
And today, they are tethered to those properties by the sheer undeniable math of their mortgage.
Let's make that math real for the listener. Think about it like a game of musical chairs.
Okay, I like that.
In a healthy real estate market, the music plays, people walk around, and when the music stops, everyone finds a new chair. You sell your starter home, you buy a bigger one, someone else buys your starter home.
The velocity of movement is what creates inventory.
Exactly. But right now, the music playing in the background is a 6.3% interest rate, so nobody is standing up.
Nobody wants to lose their chair. If I'm holding a 3% mortgage from a few years ago, selling now feels like trading a winning lottery ticket for a parking ticket.
That is the perfect way to put it. Why would anyone move unless forced to?
They wouldn't. The velocity has plummeted. Let's do the numbers. If you hold a $400,000 mortgage at 3%, your principal and interest payment is roughly $1,680 a month. If you sell that house today and buy a new home, taking out that exact same $400,000 loan at 6.3%, your payment jumps to nearly $2,470 a month.
Oh my gosh, that is brutal.
You are paying almost $800 more every single month just for the privilege of changing your address.
And you aren't gaining a single square foot of purchasing power.
Not one inch. It completely destroys your debt-to-income ratio.
So trading a 3% mortgage for a 6% mortgage is just financially irrational unless you are absolutely forced into it.
Completely irrational. So discretionary moves, like moving closer to a preferred school district or wanting a house with an open concept living room, those transactions have just vanished from the ecosystem.
Which means the only people putting their homes on the market right now are dealing with major life events.
Yeah, the forced moves, job relocations, estate liquidations, maybe severe financial distress or divorce.
Which creates a fascinating paradox that the source material touches on regarding the future of the market.
What's fascinating here is the source's specific prediction. It notes that when the dam breaks and the market opens up, buyers will need to be ready to act.
The dam is the perfect metaphor here.
It really is. Because the water, meaning the demographic demand, is still flowing into the reservoir.
Because life doesn't pause for the Federal Reserve.
No, it certainly doesn't.
People are still getting married, having children, retiring. Millennials are reaching peak home buying age, and Gen Z is entering the market. The demographic pressure is immense.
And every month that a young family decides to renew their apartment lease instead of buying, the pressure behind that dam increases.
So the lock-in effect doesn't eliminate demand.
No, it merely defers it. The question isn't if the dam will break, but what the landscape will look like when it does.
Because if a massive wave of deferred demand suddenly hits a market where supply is still structurally constrained by years of underbuilding,
the price elasticity could snap violently upward.
Wow. Okay, so we understand the psychological and financial gridlock keeping the national and regional market soft. But what happens when we look at the actual DFW regional data? Do the numbers match the vibes?
Let's pull the March 2026 NetTrust data for the broader Dallas-Fort Worth region and find out.
Okay, lay it on me.
The regional data paints a picture of a market undergoing a very specific grinding correction. Let's look at the inventory pipeline first.
All right.
New listings across the DFW Metroplex are down 2.4%. They're sitting at 18,567 for the month.
So less fresh product is hitting the shelves.
Yes. And the product that is on the shelves is collecting dust. The days on market, or DOM, has stretched out by 6.0%.
How long is that in actual days?
It is now taking an average of 71 days to sell a home regionally.
71 days? I mean, that fundamentally changes the psychology of a seller.
Oh, completely.
Think about the frenzy of the early 2020s. A house listed on Thursday had multiple offers well over asking by Sunday night. The seller held all the cards.
They could demand waived inspections, leasebacks, whatever they wanted.
Right. But at 71 days, doubt creeps in.
It really does. You're keeping your house spotless for over 2 months. The seller starts calculating their carrying costs. They start wondering if their agent priced it wrong.
And that shift in leverage is immediately reflected in the pricing data, isn't it?
It is. The percent of original list price received dropped to 94.2%.
I really want to pause on that 94.2% metric because that is a staggering shift in negotiating power.
It's massive.
If you list a home in DFW for $500,000, you are statistically walking away with around $471,000.
You are absorbing a $29,000 concession.
That's a new car. And that could be in the form of a direct price cut, or maybe paying the buyer's closing costs, or...
Or funding a 2-1 rate buy-down to make the buyer's math work with these higher rates.
Right. So buyers are extracting massive concessions just to get to the closing table.
Which perfectly validates the thesis that the broader market is soft. But here's the data point that complicates the narrative.
There's always a twist.
Right. This prevents us from calling this a total market collapse. Despite new listings dropping, despite homes sitting for over 2 months, and despite sellers taking near 6% haircuts.
Yeah.
Closed sales are actually up.
Wait, really? Up?
Up 2.5% to 10,062 closed transactions in March.
Okay, this is the paradox I wanted to dig into. The math feels totally contradictory. If there are fewer houses coming to market and they take much longer to sell, how on earth are more deals crossing the finish line?
It comes down to the clearing rate of the serious participants.
So explain that.
Well, in a hyperactive market, you have a lot of noise. You have tourist buyers throwing lowball offers just to see what sticks.
Right, the tire kickers.
Exactly. And you have aspirational sellers pricing their homes 20% above market value just to see what happens.
He's testing the waters.
Yeah. And a lot of that inventory goes pending and then falls out of contract because the buyers get cold feet or the appraisal fails.
So what you're saying is that the noise has finally left the system.
Precisely. The tourists are gone. The buyers who remain in the market, the ones actually willing to navigate a 6.3% interest rate and ignore the geopolitical headlines, they are highly motivated, highly qualified, and serious.
And the sellers who are left?
The sellers who remain are actually willing to negotiate, hence the 94.2% list-to-sale ratio. The denominator of total market participants has shrunk, but the conversion rate of those participants has increased.
So the engine is running at a lower RPM, but the transmission is finally engaging.
That's a great way to look at it. Deals are getting done.
But let's think about the people who decided to step off the ride entirely. The people who looked at a $3,500 monthly mortgage payment and said, no, thank you.
They still need a place to live.
Exactly. And if we look at the alternative data in the report, it is incredibly revealing.
The single family lease data perfectly illustrates the shadow demand we discussed earlier with the dam metaphor.
What are the lease numbers looking like?
In March 2026, there were 3,764 single-family leases signed in the DFW area, and the median price was $2,300 a month.
Okay, what about the time on market?
The days on market for those rental properties, only 51 days.
Okay, so the rental market is moving almost 3 weeks faster than the purchase market.
It is brisk.
That is the cost of hesitation. People are willing to pay $2,300 a month, which, let's do the math, is over $27,000 a year in pure unrecoverable housing costs just to buy time.
They are paying a premium for flexibility. They want to wait and see what the Federal Reserve does or to see if home prices crash.
So they're basically renting the lifestyle without committing to the asset.
Exactly. They get the fence yard, they get the suburban school district, they get the neighborhood feel, but they don't have to absorb the friction of a 6.3% mortgage.
Which means the underlying demographic need for housing remains incredibly robust.
Absolutely. The briskness of the rental sector is the clearest indicator that the need is there, even if the purchasing mechanism is currently jammed.
So if I'm a listener trying to navigate this regional DFW market right now, the takeaway seems deeply nuanced.
It requires strategy.
Right. It's not a buyer's market, and it's not really a seller's market either. It's a negotiator's market.
I'd agree with that.
If you're a buyer, do you have the upper hand now because homes are sitting for 71 days, or are you still fighting for scraps?
The leverage definitely exists for buyers now, but it requires patience. You have to endure the low inventory.
But if you find a property that has been sitting for 45 or 60 days,
You have the leverage to exploit the seller's anxiety. You can ask them to fund a rate buydown or cover your closing costs.
okay, so that is the broad cooling brushstroke covering the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
The regional baseline.
Yes. But now I want to get in the car, jump on Interstate 20, and drive west into Parker County.
Here we go.
Because the moment you cross the county line, every single rule we just discussed gets thrown completely out the window.
The Parker County data for March in quarter one of 2026 represents a violent divergence from the regional norm.
It's the localized heat wave.
And the metrics are startling.
Let's look at the supply pipeline first, because it starts off looking like an extreme version of the regional softness we just talked about.
Yeah, it looks familiar at first glance.
New listings in Parker County are down 4.8%, and closed sales are down 4.1%.
So the market is constricting even faster here.
Right. Fewer homes available, fewer homes changing hands.
Now, in a normal economic model, a contracting market with dropping sales volume usually precedes a flattening or a decline in asset prices, especially when borrowing costs are high.
But what happened to the pricing in Parker County?
This is the shocking metric. Despite the sluggish volume, the median sales price in Parker County rocketed up 12.6% in a single month.
12.6%. That is insane.
In March alone.
To put that in perspective, the quarter one 2026 MarketWatch report shows the Parker County median sales price sitting at $460,000.
Which confirms it's up 6.0% year over year.
Regionally, sellers are taking haircuts and prices are softening as leverage shifts to the buyer. But in Parker County, volume is shrinking and the value of the assets changing hands is surging aggressively.
It is a textbook high-octane supply and demand squeeze.
But it's being driven by something far more potent than typical housing metrics, isn't it?
It has to be. Why is Parker County becoming so expensive while the rest of the region softens?
Let's unpack this anomaly, because a 12.6% jump doesn't happen by accident. Here's where it gets really interesting to me. It reminds me of the pricing behavior of Veblen goods, luxury items.
Okay, walk me through that analogy.
We have less inventory, fewer sales, but a massive spike in value. It's like trying to buy a custom cowboy hat when there's only one master hatter left in town. The volume of hats he produces might drop by half, but because every wealthy rancher in the state wants those specific hats, the price of the limited inventory is going to skyrocket.
The scarcity itself becomes a value proposition.
Exactly. So how does that apply here?
Well, the scarcity is the amplifier, yes. But to understand why the demand is so inelastic in Parker County, why buyers are willing to absorb a 12.6% price increase while borrowing at 6%, we have to look at the geography and the concept of spatial arbitrage.
Spatial arbitrage. Unpack that for me in this context.
So Parker County, which encompasses towns like Weatherford, Aledo, and Springtown, it sits directly on the western edge of DFW Metroplex.
Right.
It acts as the primary transition zone between the dense, rapidly urbanizing core of Dallas and Tarrant counties and the expansive rural reality of West Texas.
It's the gateway to the country.
Exactly. And for the last decade, but heavily accelerated since 2020, we have witnessed a massive migration of wealth out of that urban core.
So picture a family. They sell their deeply appreciated four-bedroom house in a dense suburb of Dallas.
They've lived there 10 years. They have hundreds of thousands of dollars in pure equity.
Right. And they drive out to Parker County looking for acreage, privacy, and a completely different lifestyle.
Yes. And to them, a $460,000 median price point might actually look like a bargain compared to what they just left.
So they are willing to overpay relative to local historical comps.
They blow the local comps completely out of the water. They aren't relying on a traditional 95% loan-to-value mortgage.
They're paying cash or bringing massive down payments.
Right, which completely mitigates the pain of the 6.3% interest rate. They are effectively importing DFW urban equity into a rural county.
And that capital influx, colliding with a 4.8% drop in new listings, is what creates a 12.6% price surge in a single month.
It's a lifestyle premium. For a listener considering buying or selling, this data proves that hyperlocal geography matters more than macroeconomics.
Parker County real estate is currently behaving like a premium, scarce asset, If you try to price a home in Aledo using the regional DFW average, you are going to severely underprice your asset.
Which is why the source material emphasizes the absolute necessity of specialized local expertise.
The high value of Parker County leads directly into the type of lifestyle people are seeking there, doesn't it?
Yes. Specifically, the shift from city living to country acreage, farms, and ranches.
It's not just about a slightly larger backyard. It is a fundamental shift in the type of real estate being transacted.
We are transitioning from subdivisions to raw dirt.
And the data on that subset of the market is wild.
Let's analyze the agricultural and land data.
Okay, so regionally, across the entire Netraz area, farm sales is a microscopic niche. There were only 29 farm sales in the entire DFW region in March 2026.
The median price was $242,000, and they sat on the market for 68 days.
But look at the raw land data, specifically for Weatherford, which is the county seat of Parker County.
This is where it gets crazy.
In March, there were exactly 3 sales of raw land. The average price was $22,667, indicating smaller acreage parcels. But the critical metric is the velocity.
Tell them the days on market.
That land sat on the market for an average of 239 days.
239 days.
That is staggering. That is essentially 8 months of a property sitting active on the MLS. The report notes there is a 13.4-month supply of inventory for land in Weatherford.
It is a completely different universe than selling a residential house.
Why does raw dirt sit for so long?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, valuing and purchasing raw land is an incredibly complex, high-friction endeavor. The due diligence required is monumental compared to a residential transaction.
Right, because when you buy a house in a subdivision, you hire an inspector who spends maybe 3 hours checking the HVAC, the roof, and the foundation.
The utilities are already connected, the zoning is established, the taxes are predictable, it's a known quantity.
But when you are buying 50 acres of raw land in Parker County, you aren't just buying dirt, you are buying the biological and geological capacity of that specific parcel.
And this is exactly where the background of David Pete from Pete Realty, highlighted in our sources, becomes so relevant to the data.
Yeah, introduces insights here. Farm and ranch real estate isn't like buying a suburban condo.
Not at all. It requires a keen eye. The materials mention that he and his wife raise British white cattle and care for retired Tennessee walkers that used to ride the North Texas LBJ Grasslands Trail.
That isn't just charming biographical filler, is it?
No, it is the exact resume required to navigate a 239-day transaction cycle for raw land.
Because if I'm buying land to run cattle, I can't just scroll an app and look at satellite photos to know if a pasture is viable.
Exactly. You need to know the soil composition. Can this specific sandy loam support coastal Bermuda grass, or is it going to require massive chemical intervention?
You need to know the carrying capacity of the pasture.
You need to investigate the water rights. How deep is the water table? Are you pulling from the Trinity Aquifer?
And what is the flow rate of the existing well? Because if the well runs dry in August, your entire cattle operation fails.
You need to understand the topography, the floodplains, and the access easements.
Even the fencing matters, right?
Oh, hugely. Is the perimeter fencing 5-strand barbed wire suitable for cattle? Or is it smooth wire suitable for horses?
You need someone who actually lives that life, who operates out of a P.O. box in Decatur, and understands the dirt.
And then, of course, there is the absolute minefield of agricultural tax exemptions.
The ag exemption. That is a massive deal in Texas.
It's perhaps the most critical financial mechanism in rural real estate. In Texas, if land is used for bona fide agricultural purposes, it is appraised based on its productive capacity rather than its market value.
Which can reduce the property tax burden by 90% or more.
It's a huge savings.
But if a buyer from the city purchases an ag-exempt property and then decides they don't want the hassle of running cows and lets the exemption lapse,
the financial penalty is catastrophic.
It triggers rollback taxes, right?
Yes. The county can retroactively charge you the difference between the market value tax and the ag-exempt tax for the previous years, plus interest.
That could literally bankrupt a buyer who doesn't understand the mechanism.
It easily could.
Yeah.
Navigating that requires a partner who understands the tax codes and who knows exactly what it takes to keep a herd of British whites compliant.
So the 239-day time on market suddenly makes perfect sense.
It takes months just to find a buyer whose specific agricultural or lifestyle needs align with the specific geological reality of the parcel.
And then it takes months to execute the feasibility studies, drill the test wells, and secure the financing.
Because financing is much harder to get for raw land than for a primary residence.
Which perfectly aligns with the core philosophy of Pete Realty mentioned in the sources.
Right, real estate made real easy.
Because the easy part isn't a lack of complexity. The complexity is massive.
The easy part is acting as a trusted partner to manage those behind-the-scenes complexities on behalf of the client.
If you try to navigate a 13-month inventory market for raw land armed only with a consumer app, you are walking blindly into a financial trap.
You really are.
Okay, so we've built a very complex model of the current landscape. We know the market is complex, rates are elevated, and Parker County is a high-value anomaly.
We've covered a lot of ground.
So what exactly should the listener do with this information today? Let's get into actionable strategy.
The strategy requires recognizing that the current market friction is actually an opportunity disguised as an obstacle.
How so?
The source material offers a very specific directive. It says, if you're considering selling, getting your property ready now is a great proactive step.
Okay, wait. Is the smartest move right now really just to hold your breath and prep the house? It feels counterintuitive.
Why does it feel counterintuitive to you?
Well, it feels like getting your boat meticulously rigged while there's still a drought, just waiting for the flash flood. If the market is soft regionally, shouldn't you rush to sell before it gets worse?
Rushing to market out of fear is exactly how you end up becoming part of that 94.2% list-to-sale statistic we talked about earlier.
Taking a huge haircut.
Right. Because of the buyer paralysis we've discussed, right now is a strategic, quiet time.
The velocity of the market is slow.
Yes. So this is the moment to meticulously engineer your property to maximize your return on investment, prepping for the dam to break.
But we need to be incredibly specific about what return on investment, or ROI, means in this context.
The report invites owners to ask for an estimated selling price and an ROI investment plan before listing.
Because not all capital improvements are rewarded equally by the market, especially with elevated interest rates stretching buyers thin.
Capital allocation is critical right now. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Dropping $70,000 into a luxury outdoor kitchen and a custom pool might only yield a $25,000 increase in your appraisal value.
Ouch. That is a massive negative ROI.
Huge loss. And in a market where buyers are stressed over their monthly payments, they will not pay a premium for your custom choices.
But on the flip side, spending $8,000 on repairing perimeter agricultural fencing, applying fresh neutral paint, and fixing obvious deferred maintenance,
that might yield a $20,000 premium on the final sale price.
Because it removes friction for the buyer.
Exactly. A turnkey property, especially a rural property where finding contractors is notoriously difficult, commands a massive premium.
A local partner helps you calculate that math before you spend a single dollar.
If you own property in Parker County, you have to recognize that you are sitting on highly appreciating real estate. It's up 12.6%.
Do not let the regional softness fool you into underselling. Ask for an estimated selling price and an investment plan.
But what if you are a buyer?
Right. If you are a buyer trying to break into this Parker County heatwave, what do?
You need to be prepared for strict competition in this specific county.
You must realize that while the regional DFW market might offer 71 days of leverage, premium acreage in Parker County is structurally scarce.
You will be competing against buyers bringing significant cash from the city.
Which means your financing has to be absolutely locked in. Go back to those rate sheets we discussed at the top of the show.
If you're committing to a long-term rural property, look aggressively at those 15-year conventional or FHA options.
Right, to save on total interest. The difference between a 5.37% rate on a 15-year and a 6.30% rate on a 30-year is hundreds of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan.
You build equity violently fast on a 15-year note, which protects you if the broader market does eventually correct.
Well, we have covered an immense amount of ground today on this deep dive.
We really ran the gamut.
We started by navigating the 6% mortgage landscape and decoding the surprisingly complex NetTri's regional data.
We unpack the paradox of fewer listings and longer days on market coexisting with an increase in closed sales.
And then we marveled at the Parker County price surge, the 12.6% jump, and really dug into understanding the specialized world of farm and ranch real estate.
The 239-day life cycle of raw land, the tax exemptions, the cattle, all of it.
It's a lot to take in. But as we step back from the data, do you have a final thought to leave us with?
I do. I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over. regarding the nature of value itself.
Let's hear it.
We began by discussing the geopolitical unrest and economic volatility unrest halfway across the world, paralyzing a buyer here in Texas.
Bruh.
Yet at the same time, a specific pocket of Texas, like Parker County, can simultaneously see a 12.6% surge in value. It really forces us to rethink what safe investment means today.
How so?
In a world obsessed with digital assets, abstract algorithms, and global stock fluctuations, is it possible that a few acres of good soil in the right county is the ultimate anchor for your livelihood?
Wow.
Perhaps true security isn't found on a screen, but in a piece of land sitting quietly above a reliable aquifer, completely indifferent to the chaos of the broader world.
When the global weather map looks completely unpredictable, finding your own resilient, hyper-localized heat wave might be the smartest move you can make. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today.
It's been great.
Keep learning, trust the data over the headlines, and stay curious.